CliffCentral.com. So guys, we're having a very exciting morning. See us in Durban. You're listening to Phumi Mashego. I'm sitting in Gareth's chair because Gareth is still on his way. And I'm trying to see if I can get Gareth, if I can get Sia up on the airwaves. So I'm just going to try one more time. Good morning, right. Sia.
Good morning. How are you?
Jeez. what a way to start a Thursday.
I was loving your choice of adjective at this point by you saying it's an interesting morning. I'm like, yes, it is.
Y'all could have warned a girl.
For me, we like to throw curveballs at you because we know you can handle it at this point.
Well, booyah, I will tell you that one of the things I'm so glad I wake up super early and then try and get you and kind of get my coffee and get my groove on. Right. I get you this morning. There are no cars in the parking lot. I'm like, what the is going on?
And that's your first sign to go, wonder what is happening here.
Although I do kind of think, oh, people took an Uber this morning.
Still being very optimistic and still looking at the bright side. I totally understand that. But how are you doing?
Well, here we are. And I have spoken to Gareth. So Gareth is on his way. He completely freaked out. He's on his way. I don't know what he was up to last night. So he'll make it here in the next 30 minutes or so. If he doesn't, Kent and Pele is going to be here because it's Thursday. And we've got the burning platform. I'm sitting here looking at all of the... So I was like... Oh my goodness, where's my running order? Where's all the things that I've got to read? Where's all the things that I've got to do? I hope Sia sent me his set by
Where are your green M&Ms and your orchid candles? Because that's part of your technical rider as well.
Yeah, this is a rubbish rider. Yeah. What are you doing in Durban, Sia?
So I'm working with a client this afternoon. We'll be helping them with a broadcast that they're doing here in the city. So I traveled yesterday. And can I just make you envious for 2 seconds? Because I never get this opportunity much.
Knock is
our
heart.
As we're sitting right now in my hotel room, I'm overlooking the ocean. And almost right on cue in everything that we're discussing, the sun is beginning to rise over the ocean. So I'm quite a happy camper right now.
Yeah, because the sun is just coming up here in Joburg as well. I was driving here this morning thinking, Auntie, it is so bloody dark.
Right.
The winter is here.
I don't want to overthink this too much, but yeah, clearly winter is here. And I'm not just making a Game of Thrones reference, but we're really just counting down until the mornings start slower and it's more dark, you know, all of that wrapped up into one.
So as all the songs are coming up this morning, I'll tell you, Lubabalo, who's already tuned in, sent an SMS to say, this song that is playing right now needs to be deleted on the playlist. Yo! I was like, you know what, I had other things that I was kind of worrying about here, trying to get people up on the airwaves.
I'm telling you, we have like this odd crop of songs. I know this is like technical talk now, that now people are like, what are we getting ourselves into? But we have this top five of like weird songs that somehow creep into our system all the time. And we've spoken to our whole technical team, like, how can we avoid this? But somehow come 6 a.m., these songs just like creep in and they're weird and they play all the time. So I totally understand Lubabalo's gripe right now.
So, yeah.
Absolutely understand it. And now before we get into a whole lot of political talk at 7 o'clock with the burning platform, let's just talk about in general how much of an eventful week it's been.
Bona, see, at this bloody 2019, I wanted to go back. It's like people don't get this. 2019 is like 2018 2.0. I was really looking forward after hectic 2018. I was looking forward to like easing into a new year. We're hardly out of the starting blocks of the first quarter. So much has gone down this year. So much has gone down this year. See, you're going to have to talk up a little bit, you know, cause I do have you on my phone and it's a great phone and all, but it's still a WhatsApp call. And
yeah,
so
I don't know. I
need your volume to go.
Great. Okay. I don't know about you. A lot of people were getting into this whole conversation of my goodness. We're closing the first quarter and look at what is happening right now. Well, I'm just talking about goodness. Are we still in March? Cause so much has happened. So it's interesting you bring up the whole phone debate. Mentioning my phone rather. This week, Apple did their massive event and speaking about some of their new offerings and services that are coming up.
And I saw that 5-minute long promo, whatever it is, the one with Steven Spielberg, the directors,
yes.
You know, about telling
yes.
movies. And, you know, I come from the world of making films and commercials and all of that. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in a very, very long time, when I was watching that thing, I was going, damn it. Why don't I make movies anymore? I could be on a set. I could be. It totally did. You know, it stirred the cockles of my heart. It reminded me what it is.
Sorry. Let me just note that down as the word of the day, the who of your heart.
I'm telling you.
I didn't even know that was a word.
It totally did. And all I was thinking the whole time I'm watching that thing is I'm thinking, why do I have to leave my house? Why can't I just lie here every day and watch all this fabulous content? When are we going to get time to work? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Wow.
I think Netflix, Showmax, DSTV, Sport.
The caveat, not just DSTV, because we don't know how we feel about them sometimes.
All of these things. All of these things. Okay, no. So, I'm not going to mention them. So, yeah, you must call them and make them a client, and then I'll have a whole conversation about the content that they have,
the
local content.
The real conversation you want to have with them, like just wowing and singing their praises.
The local content. We're not just having a conversation about them. But those are the things that I was thinking. I'm never gonna leave my house. When Friday night comes as it is, you have to be a spectacular event for me on a Friday night or a Saturday night to actually willfully leave my house. Cause I'd just rather be watching whatever's on any of the channels.
So I have been quite a bit of an unpopular opinion at this point about the Apple event. And I am totally wrapped up in the Apple cult. You know, I have the Apple phone and Apple.
See, people are talking about the fact that they can't hear you. So you better like take us off speaker or whatever.
Oh, no.
And you better.
Yeah, I'm speaking directly into the phone now.
Okay. Well, as opposed to what were you doing before?
No, I did have you on speaker. So hopefully it's sounding a little better.
Are we? No, not happy. See ya.
Oh, no.
Okay. While you try and figure that out, I am going to do this. One of the big news that came up, right? eTolls yesterday. Now that we know that they're not going to be pursuing, people. Their debt collection. What that does not mean is that they're scrapping eTolls, just by the way. Because when I first saw the headline, I was like, what? Are they scrapping the eTolls finally? No, they're just saying they're not pursuing you. So if you've got a summons for a court appearance or they're chasing you down to pay them, they're just saying they're not pursuing. But do you pay your eTolls? And if you don't and the auto bill comes into the effect, what are you liable for? In our new smart driving feature, Gareth Cliff and Pickspotter sit down with Howard Dembowski, chairman of the Justice Project of South Africa, to discuss the auto amendment bill. As we are in for another e-toll fiasco, or is it auto paving the way for a safer South Africa? We've got the scoop. The podcast is available now on the Cliff Central website. Smart driving is powered by King Price Insurance. So have you paid your e-toll, Sia?
Where is this conversation going all of a Saturday now?
In public.
I'm standing with Outa on this one and rather saying, no, I haven't paid my e-tolls. And I believed in the fact that it wasn't going to work out. And yeah, whether it was really and truly noble on the part of e-tolls, but it just wasn't going to work. I didn't see it working.
So yeah, I'm going to try and play another song and then I'm going to keep you on the line so that you can tell me where you're staying. I'm going to try and phone you on the landline. Let me see if I can, if I can make that happen.
Awesome.
Ooh, what shall we play?
As long as I know you're probably leaning towards Janelle Monáe.
No, man. I'm not going to do that to you. So speaking of that power and what doesn't kill you making you stronger, Gareth, yeah. Are you strong?
Hey, Pops.
Good morning.
It was good morning, but I love being woken up and then I suddenly realized, oh God, I was meant to be up an hour ago. It's the worst feeling. But I did hear, I'm not going to be like Sia and criticize your song choice at all.
Oh, come on. Justin Bieber. This one, I chose it. How?
So, ironically, you were just talking about e-tolls, and I just drove past SANRAL. You know, I go past that building every day on my way to and from the studio, and I look at it, and it's, first of all, it's enormous, right? It's state-of-the-art. It's a really big building. It's got this huge kind of outdoor area, where I suppose the vision was that all these SANRAL staff would sit outside and watch the people going past on the highway and think,
encounters.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, yeah. And they'd be counting their money more than counting us. And I never see very much action there. The parking lot's never full. It's a quiet building. You can see that they spent a lot of money on the construction, on the decoration, on building this enormous place. I don't see any action there.
Never see any action, Gareth, is I hardly ever go to the mall, but in our mall, the one closest to my house, there is an actual office there where people have to go to pay for the, people are supposed to go and pay and tumbleweeds, brother, tumbleweeds. I always feel so sorry for those people. They're just sitting in there watching people walk by, spending their money, not paying their e-tolls.
But those people have nothing to do. They sit there and they're twiddling their thumbs. They don't even have someone to talk to because it's usually just one person. And you kind of think that, well, even if they weren't making money and they were breaking even by not having a booth in every mall, somehow it would make sense. But they don't have to pay for someone to sit there really and just admire the view. And that's kind of ridiculous. But if the main building, if their headquarters has no activity in it, this is the thing I wanted to ask a second ago, is does anybody know whether anything ever happens at SANRAL? I know that Nazir Ali used to be the guy who was in charge, but I certainly haven't heard anything from him in like a year and a half or 2 years.
Oh, really? And I did not know that Nazir Ali was in charge there. He was in a couple of workshops I did a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still in charge, but he certainly was the guy behind it when they established e-tolls, and for a long time afterwards. He was also the one who would go on TV along with Vusi Mona and on radio and threaten us that, you know, if you don't pay your e-tolls, we're going to take away your license.
I know, man. Poor Vusi.
And you're not going to be able to use our roads. Poor Vusi. Those guys were threatening us.
Hey, well.
Anyway.
It's just doing their job.
Yeah, you did mention that this week they've decided that they are not going to pursue whatever that means, anybody at the moment, but they aren't exactly saying they're going to scrap all the outstanding fines. So I had hired Deb Bosky on the show on Tuesday, and we spoke about this in the first of four parts of a series that we're going to do on road safety and the rules of the road and kind of what your rights are and all the rest of it. And we'll have to see what happens, because he put the fear of God into me. I mean, after Howard, you know, you think, oh my God, I'm definitely going to jail. and his point was that if this auto bill does get signed into law by the president, which is the final step for it to become a law that is practical, if it does get signed into law by the president, it effectively will make millions of South Africans a criminal.
You know, that the fact that it effectively makes millions of South Africans a criminal. And last week, the reason we went here was because of Sharpeville Day. One of the things that I love the most about what that day symbolizes was the idea that you could collapse a system. So why the police fired, and I don't know if everybody knows this, why the police fired at all those protesters unprovoked, because they were peacefully protesting, was actually because all of those individuals had presented themselves to the police station without their passes to say, well, arrest all of us. And the idea was to collapse the system, was that the system cannot handle so many individuals under arrest, detained, taken to court. And that for me is just the mind of the PAC. So what we should do, civil unrest, just kind of collapse the system.
I think kind of by not paying, South Africans have been, you know, objecting in a, what do they call it, in civil disobedience campaign. But the fact is that this is probably going to be a very good example, and government are really frightened of this in some very deep, meaningful way, which is why they haven't just scrapped e-tolls, because they're not sure what the ramifications of this ultimately are going to be. You know, I mean, we hear people talking about tax revolts and the rest of it, but the honest truth on the matter of e-tolls is that most of these people, and I'm stuck in traffic now on my way to the studio, there are thousands and thousands of people who are heading to work today to try and be productive so that they can pay their bills, so that they can do basic things. These are not people who are going to work to be rich. You know, they're people who are just mostly scraping by. And you can see, if you look at their facial expressions, there's tension, there's anxiety. These people are scraping by. And if the government suddenly presents you, or if SANRAL suddenly presents you with an e-toll bill of, let's say, 10,000-20,000 rand, that might be a small bill, by the way, for people who haven't paid for the last 2 years. There's no way that those people can afford to pay that. So they will be forced to become criminals. They will be forced to disobey the system. And if auto kicks in, and let's say you've got, I don't know, you've got 10 demerit points because you didn't pay your e-tolls, or because you've got 3 or 4 outstanding fines that you forgot about, or, you know, things that happen even to good law-abiding people. And I'm not saying, you know, that we all have this long list of fines that we have to pay that we haven't paid. But the fact is, we all have things that we leave behind and that we forget about, and that maybe we are driving somewhere and we're 10 kilometers over the limit. If you suddenly ended up with a bill and with fines, and it made you an illegal driver, let's say they took away the maximum number of points, and you were suddenly, you and your car were not allowed to be on the road.
Gareth, you know, you've just reminded me of one of the most harrowing experiences of my young life as a new driver.
Yeah.
As a new driver, having never, you know, my first car, never had bills of my own, like tickets of my own. And suddenly I had this ticket to pay, and I didn't know what to do. And then I showed up at South Gauteng, and I arrived like all starry-eyed and bushy-tailed, and totally didn't know what the hell was going on.
And well, first of all, were you even at the right court? Because I'm sure at the High Court they didn't expect to see someone at a
truck. No, so they have a section, man. They have a section.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a section around the corner and where you go.
Yeah.
And I arrive there and I'm like, I have this ticket. And they're like, but this ticket is late, Ntombazane. You know, I'm like, oh, it's late. Didn't know what was happening. And then this guy says, okay, so you have to pay the fine, you know. And I'm like, well, but I don't have money to pay for the fine. And it's like, well, you can't not have money to pay the fine. And now you're here. So just will you come with me? And as I follow this guy, he walks me through, like walking me to the holding cells.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I've been there.
No cell phone. Because it was donkeys years ago. Right. So no cell phone. And now I'm in this dark, dingy, like downstairs.
Yes.
I'm like, what is going on? They're like, yeah, if you don't pay your fines, you see, then Melisek Bopis, Yagbopa, you're coming in with us. It was horrendous.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of thing is just for someone who's a new driver or someone who's, you know, none of us go around, oh, look what I've just got, a blue light brigade going past. So
follow them.
Whoever this, probably Cyril or it's David Mabuza or someone even worse that we don't need. Who's pushing past in the traffic. That's nice.
That's always, the wrong direction. It's the real wrong direction. The office is in the other direction.
I wonder where this person is going. Someone, and they've cleared the whole right-hand lane of the highway. This happens virtually every other day on this highway.
Jeez.
Anyway, to go back to the auto thing, because I think we've spoken about it at length. The reality is people can't afford to pay huge fines. They can't afford to pay enormous outstanding e-toll bills that have been gathering over 2.5 years. Even those people who are good law-abiding citizens are looking at these bills going, is this really something I need to pay? Because prioritizing is what people are up to at the moment in this economy. And it's going to force a lot of people to just say, you know what? I would rather, if there are a lot of others like me, risk what the people in Sharpeville did all those years ago, you know, stand together and let them do what they will. I think that's what would happen.
Ooh, this country, they can't lock us all up.
I'm just counting. Let me count these cars quickly. This blue light brigade. So we've had.
Is it still driving past?
Three cars and a bike. Then 1, 2, 3, 4. This must be Cyril. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 and then a bike again. So 11 cars, 3 Metro Police cars, and 2 sets of bikes.
Because people call me at 6:30 in the morning. Sorry. Gareth, are you still here? Okay, because people call me at 6:30 in the morning. The line is beeping. Sorry, guys.
So there it is, Pums. 11... cars, 3 Metro Police cars, and 2 bikes. How's that? That's the cavalcade that just went past me. Because, of course, you need all of those things for one person who's going to do the best job of running Eskom, which we know has happened.
Who's going to be late for a meeting anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mustn't talk about late this morning, but I'll be in the studio probably in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So
Gareth, this is wonderful. Am I allowed to play another song? You know what I don't have? I don't have a set by Sia. I don't have a set by Sia. I don't have a set by Sia. I don't have top news stories.
You do the set by Sia. I did send you the top news stories, so you should have those on your email.
Did you send me that? Okay. I'm going to look.
Go to a song. Relax, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Shut up. That's all right, G. Shut
thanks.
Up.
Bye.
All these songs, I don't know any of these songs, and I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I should play one of these. So amazing. Like, who are these people? DJ Kelly. Well, here's a song I know. Guys, I found a song that I know, a song that I like, and for the first time, What are we? 45 minutes into the show. I am feeling like I have a handle on this thing. I haven't run a desk in a very, very long time. And if you're wondering why Gareth sounds like a black woman, it's because I am a black woman. It's Phume Mashego. I'm normally here on a Thursday and Gareth is almost here. He just had a wobbly this morning. Sia's not here. He's watching the sunrise in Durban. And I am going to take you through the five things you need to know this morning so that you feel smart when you're at the water cooler. If your boss asks you, hey, what's happening? You can tell him a little bit about what's happening in the news. And again, another big announcement. All these big announcements here in South Africa this week. Edward Kiesvetter is the newly announced SARS commissioner, and he says he's under no illusion and is aware of the huge task he faces ahead. It's been a long time since we've had somebody in that position, permanently appointed to that position. And even though he comes by way of Alex Forbes, he was the CEO of Alex Forbes for a while, he's no stranger to the revenue service, and he used to serve as a deputy SARS commissioner between 2004-2009. And, guess what? The EFF are jumping up and down saying this man is not the right man for the job because this man, according to them, has a relationship with Pravin Gordhan, the person that the EFF have set their sights on at the moment as the one person that they are targeting now that Jacob Zuma is gone. Second piece of news that you should know is the British Prime Minister Theresa May agrees to step down once the Brexit deal is made. This Brexit mayhem has taken down Theresa May's career, and now she has finally said that she will be stepping down. The quote that they've got out here is, I know there is a deep desire for a new approach and new leadership, and in the second phase of the Brexit negotiations, I won't stand in the way of that. May told the party's 1922 Committee of Lawmakers, according to excerpts of her speech released by Downing Street. I know some people are worried that if you vote for the withdrawal agreement, I will take that as a mandate to rush on into phase two without the debate we need. I won't. I hear what you're saying, she says. So there you have it. Another one bites the dust. This Brexit deal is definitely going the wrong way with a lot of people. We've been talking a lot about Ida. Is it I don't know what the name of the cyclone is. Idai, it's called. And there is the Durban, from Durban, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, DIRCO, Minister Lindiwe Sisulu will travel to Mozambique and Zimbabwe on Thursday. That's today, to hand over donations to victims of Cyclone Idai, her department said in a press release last night. Sisulu would be accompanied by members of the business committee led by, surprise, surprise, Patrice Motsepe, founder and executive chairman of African Rainbow Minerals. Minister Sisulu is expected to visit the city of Beira in Mozambique and Chimanimani district in eastern Zimbabwe to hand over the donations made by South African citizens, companies and members of the diplomatic corps who heeded their earlier call for assistance by the minister. The donations include financial aid, clothes, water purifiers, non-perishable food items and blankets. There is a lot you can still do. There are many collection points around the cities that I have personally seen. And there is a very sweet initiative by one of the boys at my son's school who's also collecting stuff. And I just thought, this is wonderful. We're raising kids that are more aware of what's happening in their world. He's only 10 years old and he was so moved that he wanted to do something. And we've spoken a lot about ETOL, so I'm not going to talk about that, but that's one of the top five things you need to know today. This one is a very fascinating story because I don't know how this happens, but a BA jet flew to the wrong city by mistake. British International, British Airways has been forced to apologize after a flight from London to Dusseldorf landed more than 965 kilometers away in Edinburgh by mistake. The detour came after a subcontracted crew used an incorrect flight plan and set off and set off from the London City Airport to the Scottish capital instead of Ryan. British Airways said the aircraft, a 96-seater BAE-146, because now we're interested in what kind of jets we're flying in, was operated by a German charter firm, WDL Aviation, on behalf of BA City Flyer. The crew and aircraft were subcontracted under an arrangement known as a wet lease. We are working with WDL Aviation, who operated this flight on behalf of British Airways, to establish why the incorrect flight plan was used. I think this deserves more than just an apology, BA, considering that we are all such nervous flyers of late. There are so many things that are happening up in the airwaves. I'm so glad I'm not traveling at the moment, because it would drive me absolutely crazy. First, you have to worry about what time your flight leaves. You have to worry about what flight you're on. Now you also have to worry about the type of flight that you're on. Definitely not one of the ways that I would like to be spending my flight time. What else is happening this morning? So, all the things that are in the news are big things, and coming in a couple of minutes is Mr. Canthan Pillay, whom, as you know, is a very vocal political analyst, but has a very exciting venture that he's launched a couple of days ago. You would have seen it, I suppose. And we've our very own Robin Kambanek from Renegade Report is one of his, what do they call it? Peers, they say, even though he's the chairman of this newly formed political party, one of his peers is our very own Roman, who is the host of Renegade Report, and they are said to shake up the political sphere. So Canthan is not just talking about what he thinks is wrong, he's also doing something about it. He's coming in at 7 o'clock for the Burning Platform, and we're going to chat a little bit about that. And as I look out the window, I see a gorgeous young Gareth Cliff running into the studio and looking rather well put together for a person that woke up and drove so far. Gareth, did you take a shower this morning? You sure? Yeah. I don't know.
Hello, Pums.
Hello, darling. Mwah. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, my God.
Calm down. What number is that microphone? Number 4.
I have to tell you that I'm very impressed. You did say you were going laptopless.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here with your iPad and that's all. So organized. Sure.
It's working, dude. It's taken me a couple of weeks. But I have finally let go. I've shed my old self. You know, because, you know, at this stage and age, it's hard to let go of old things.
Well, listen, also, it's difficult to be organized. And we all have mornings where we don't know what flight we're on. We don't know what time we're meant to be up. None of this stuff. But listening to you talking about that flight, imagine. Oh, God. It's bad enough, right? You go to the airport. You get onto your plane. You expect the pilot to know where you're meant to go. I know it doesn't happen often, but it's hilarious.
The good news, though, is that it's hardly ever going to happen that they're going to, like, fly into each other.
No.
In the sky.
Yeah,
so
usually that's automated and double-checked, and there's air traffic control here and air traffic control there. But never say never.
That's what the flight plan's about, isn't it? It's the double-checking, and yet here we are.
And they fly at different heights, so you always have like 33,000, 33,200, 33,500 or whatever. So hopefully that never happens. But still, to go to completely the wrong city, I mean, I know it's happened to me once, and maybe to other people more, where we're meant to be landing in Cape Town, and they say, no, sorry, the weather's too bad.
And you detour to Durban.
Or PE. And you go, what am I doing here? It's not where I want it to be.
Now what?
Yeah, it's a disaster.
So seeing as we are living in 2019 and we still don't have those hoverboards that were promised to us in Back to the Future.
I'm still waiting.
One of my favorite movies is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And that scene with all the cars up above and there's smog everywhere. And also in The Fifth Element with all of the cars that are all over that are flying cars and yeah. That used to completely freak me out. It still makes me wonder what can happen. And just you're talking to you've got what's the show with the driving show?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're doing smart driving with Pig Spotter and King Price.
And the only thing I worry about is bloody hell. Can people just use their indicators?
Well, imagine in the sky, they won't be using indicators either. I'm just going to swap lanes here. There's plenty of air. You imagine.
Turning left without telling anyone else.
So they've done a lot of work in this because it's not going to be so long. There are already these things called the Muller Sky Car. And I know in Dubai, they're testing a drone, which can take passengers. And there are plans to figure out what altitude passenger traffic like this might eventually go at, how many lanes you'd need. A lot of it would be machine run, which is scary. I mean, we all know that to trust a car on a 2D flat road surface is difficult enough. But imagine in 3D space.
I trust machines more than I trust people.
Well, that's a very good point, because if we did trust machines, if it was all up to machines and there wasn't a human being, you'd have no errors.
Well, you'd have some errors.
Not like humans, because humans suddenly go, I took the wrong turn. You could see it on the road here. You see a taxi like now on Rivonia Road. They're coming up and then they go,
there's a passenger. I'm stopping now.
Or I think I must go that way now. And then you just see them do like an illegal U-turn and everybody has to wait. Anyway, we've got Canton, as you said, popping in a little bit later on, and you call it his new venture, but it is a political party, and he's been telling you for the longest time, remember, to start your own political party. And the irony is that he went ahead and started his own political party, and it's called the South African Communist Party. We'll be speaking to him somewhere in the next couple of minutes on the Burning Platform. It'll be
Communist Party, Capitalist
Party. Did I say Communist? Did I? He's going to hate me for that. Oi, oi, oi. South African, the ZACP, the South African Capitalist Party. Can you imagine? I mean, there is an SACP on the ballot this year. You know that.
Oh, Gosiam.
Have you seen all these people on the ballot?
Dude, I was watching last
Claudine
night.
Claudine Motsweneng?
Yo, the two things I watched last night, right. First, yeah. There's a little clip of Claudine Motsweneng. I can't believe I almost said cloudy.
Cloudy.
of him talking about ascending to the union buildings. Mm. He's standing under a tree. It's the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Whatever he smokes is pretty potent.
Guy, in my next life, I better come with that kind of confidence. because the man's confidence is on steroids.
Yeah.
And then there's the ENCA has been running town hall meetings or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was a weird party, ACP, I think it was called.
Yeah, they're at the top of the ballot, actually.
Yeah, they're the first. I'm like, who the hell are these people?
Listen, three quarters of those parties I've never heard of in my life. I mean, we always focus on the big three, right? We always focus ANC and DA and EFF, and we forget that there are these little parties.
We also focus on the IFP.
Shame. You know, I interviewed Mangosuthu Buthelezi last Friday, and that interview will be coming out soon. We spoke for maybe an hour and a half.
That's incredible.
For him, that's short. You know how he can talk. And he was really storytelling. But
Old people tell stories.
But the guy has stories. I mean, yeah. He's been around since the 1920s. He met just about every important person that you could wish to meet. He met Robert Sobukwe. He met Nyerere. He met Kaunda. He met just about anyone. Name a name, and I'll tell you, he brought him up in the conversation.
And what an incredible mind.
Yes, absolutely. And also a guy who has been, without, you know, stressing too much, because I don't believe anyone's perfect, but I think he's been a bit of a moral exemplar in some ways too. Some of his decisions politically are very questionable.
Including the starting of...
Of the IFP.
Of the IFP.
Absolutely, which was supposed
questionable.
He said, by the way, that whole thing came about because Oliver Tambo told him to start a membership organization, which he could use to grow his base and to add to the ANC. Remember, he was an ANC cadre long before he became an IFP man. And the
somewhere
IFP,
along the line, he got corrupted.
Yeah, the IFP, or he got rescued, who knows. But the IFP were essentially a cultural organization. That was what they were masquerading as for a long time.
That's why the uniform looks like a scout uniform. Do you know that?
I believe so, yeah. And before he knew it, he was disenchanted at the ANC. He feels they kind of turned on him. He spoke about how he felt that the leadership, especially Tambo, started being very – they started sniping at him in meetings and in public forums and in publications. And he decided it was time to go off and do his own thing. But what I meant by a moral exemplar in some ways is that the man was married to his wife all his life. One woman, 70 years they were married, something more than 70 years, in fact. She died on Monday. Mm-hmm. And they had 5 kids together. And for all intents and purposes, they were solid, those two. Which I think is quite an achievement in politics. I think it's quite an achievement in a country like South Africa and with the stresses and strains of what any political leader must have had to go through in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even the last couple of years. That's quite an achievement.
Mm.
So, amazing.
Absolutely amazing. And I'm always fascinated at how the IFP and what later became the UDF, the parallels between those two organizations and formations, and kind of the way that people were always trying to find a way around the craziness of living through an apartheid South Africa.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find you a song over there. He spoke very openly and very candidly about his relationship with some of the politicians since 1994.
Mm.
And also what happened with the IFP in those very fractious months just before the election. I mean, you remember, they weren't going to take part, right? It was really close. People were extremely nervous. People thought that this is definitely the end. And the IFP were going to go to war. They were on the same side as those parties like the Conservative Party and the HNP. Do you remember them?
And that for me, Gareth, is what I mean by somewhere along the way, he got, and maybe the word is not corrupted by co-opted, but co-opted by the system, essentially, because that's what it was. One of the things that I am brutally aware of in those last days, and the last kicks of the dying horse of apartheid, was how vicious the state had become. How vicious the state had become in clinging onto that power and that crazy, crazy, crazy power.
It was frightening. And he spoke about de Klerk, and he spoke about the relationship that de Klerk and Mandela had, and that they basically left him out in the cold. I mean, that's how he felt.
And of course, that's how he felt.
But it's his story, you know? It's his story, and we can only take his word for how he felt at the time. But
when
what
is
an
the
interesting
podcast
conversation.
Coming out?
In the next week, we're going to have that ready for you. We also got Kenneth Meshwe from the ACDP. So we're making our way through all the leaders of the political parties. I'm putting some money down that even though the invitations have gone out to all of them, there will be some who do not pitch. I know for a fact that we've always been very hospitable to the EFF. They're likely to arrive and talk to us. I don't know whether Musi and Cyril are going to do us the favor of popping by to tell us what's up. But you never know. It's election year.
They will come to the opening of an envelope.
Yeah. All right. Let's get cracking. We've got lots to do. Coming up next, The Burning Platform on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.